Hi, I'm Ryan Penny, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. This week, we're back with a panel of influencers who are working to spread the Catholic faith across their social media platforms. First, we have Lizzie Rize in California. She's a Catholic social media influencer who's shedding light on her journey with mental health, never shying away from her Catholic faith. Kyle Walter is with us from Virginia. He is a husband and father of four with a zeal for using his social media page to show men that the best brotherhood is the fraternity of Christ. We're also joined by John Donahue in Florida. John runs an account called Truth Charting and uses his talents to garner the attention of Gen Z. Lizzie, as a person who has bipolar disorder, why do you think Catholicism is attractive to those who are suffering?
One of the beautiful things about Catholicism is that the church has always been pro-science and pro-medication and not seen a dichotomy between treating a physical illness and relying on God's power in our lives. So when I was Protestant, there were a lot of people who, if someone wants to take medication for a mental illness, they would say, oh, you don't trust God enough, just pray it away. And they just saw like a dichotomy between treating something as a medical problem as well. And so the Catholic Church knows that God can work through modern science and medication. And so, of course, I pray about my mental illness a lot, and God gives me so much strength in it. But I also feel so empowered to treat it with medication.
Beautiful that you're taking how the Catholic Church looks on this matter and you're sharing it, because not enough, obviously, there's not enough people in the digital space who have been doing that, who are influencers, who are willing to share their struggle so that those who also struggle with it don't have to feel like they're being alone. So, Lizzie, how does being a faithful Catholic who practices the faith statistically help those who struggle with mental illness?
One of the most profound things is that the suicide rate is the lowest for practicing Catholics. There was an article published in the Los Angeles Times in 2016, and the study was published by JAMA Psychiatry. They followed 89,708 women from 1996 to 2010, and they found that women who attended any religious service at least once a week were five times less likely to commit suicide. Amongst those people, Catholics were seven times less likely to commit suicide than Protestants. Among Catholics who attended Mass more than once a week, there was a 0% suicide rate. All of this totally makes sense to me, because when I'm suffering in depression, I find so much hope and strength in Catholicism, because there's a redemptive theology of suffering. And when I converted into Catholicism, I read a lot of writings from the early church, and there was so much persecution and violence going on at the time towards Christians, and they didn't feel like God abandoned them, even when they were tortured or murdered for their faith, even though they were in so much pain. And so I apply the same thing to when I'm in so much pain from my mental illness. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned me. And then, of course, the Eucharist brings us so much strength and hope. And even just looking up at a crucifix when I'm in depression, knowing that when Jesus was on the cross, he felt like God had abandoned him. That just makes me feel so validated and understood by God.
Beautifully said, Lizzie. And this, what the Catholic Church teaches about suffering, is so important. It's the message that the world needs to know. And I will say that there, it seems like there are some difficulties and crosses in life that are easier for people to admit that they have than others. And it seems like mental illness in particular, with the stigma that's typically around it, is probably one of the most difficult to be open about and to let other people and grace in. But you are making big waves and helping to lessen that and let people know that they can let God's grace in, and to help others to better love the people in their life who are struggling with mental illness. So thanks be to God. So, Kyle, there can be a disconnect oftentimes between the way that Catholic men portray themselves on social media and how they act in real life. As an influencer, what do you think is the solution to that? And how do you carve out a path to authenticity?
I think, unfortunately, a lot of times content creators, they start concerning themselves more about whether they're going to get engagement and likes and comments. So they're giving people what they think they want to hear, not necessarily what they know they actually need to hear. So on that, I think having the hard conversations and holding each other accountable, right? All the time I reach out to accounts if something just seems off. If I know these people, you know, I've established relationships and say, hey, that didn't seem very authentic to me. Why would you say that or why would you do that? And we have those difficult conversations. And I encourage others to do the same to me. All the time I reach out to people who I know are devout Catholics and tell them, hey, look, if I'm saying anything on here that seems off or isn't in accordance with the truth of the church, please let me know and hold me accountable to that. And I think that'll help us keep remaining our authentic selves. Also, I think as you grow in your own faith journey with Christ, you're willing to, you know, put your crosses out there because you know we're all called to carry our own crosses, and it can strengthen the faith of others. So I think that's my best advice in that.
Amazing, amazing. Yes, we need more and more of that. And John, while Kyle is reaching out to the men, and your target audience in particular is Gen Z. And so what topics or ways of expressing the Catholic faith do you think your generation finds most compelling?
Yeah, I've done a lot of research on this over the past 2 years because like Kyle said just a moment ago, it is easy for me to fall into this trap of like, okay, what's going to get engagement? What's going to get likes? What can I make that's actually going to succeed? And trying to balance that with, okay, how do I actually, like, how do I stay at the heart of what I'm trying to do here? And that is, I'm trying to show young people that being Catholic isn't boring. So how do I balance this? Like, okay, how do I start a successful social media business, really? Like, how do I start a social media ministry that accurately portrays the Catholic perspective and also engages a lot of people? Because if I want to do this full time, which I do, and I just began doing it full time, I do need a certain number of people to be engaged with it. If there's only 12 people that follow the account, there's not enough support for me to get sponsorships and to make a living doing this. So I am mindful of the engagement that I do, and so that's why I've done a lot of research into this. The answer to your question, what do I find about the Catholic Church that is most compelling, is I think it's freedom and adventure for the young people. And I think the reason it's that is because every young person right now has an addiction. I think pretty much every young person right now has an addiction. It's a socially acceptable, insanely engaging, and very demanding addiction. It's this rectangle in our hands that is constantly screaming at us, saying, hey, 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 over here, look at me. And it also gives your friends constant access to you at any moment, and it's very demanding. It allows your friends to make demands upon you at any moment of the day. So this inhibits your freedom. If you have people who are able to make a demand upon you at any moment of the day, and it's insanely engaging and you can't break away from it, that does inhibit your freedom, and it teaches you not to use your free will. The parts of the Catholic faith that I've found most compelling is this aspect of freedom. And I think when you take young people on retreats and you take their phones away, and then towards the end of it, some of them are like, I don't really want that thing back. I know that's certainly how I felt a lot of the times. It just goes to show that this phone, this internet addiction, is in a lot of ways the chain that our generation is imprisoned by, and the Catholic faith offers freedom. I mean, Jesus Christ offers that freedom through his church. And that's what I really, really, really want to put forward and showcase to the young people, is that, hey, the Catholic faith is offering you this free adventure. You can choose to use your free will. If I wanted to right now, I could close my laptop, I could run outside, and I could jump in the pond. Like, that's kind of an insane idea that sometimes, like, we remember in the middle of class or something like that. It's like, whoa, if I wanted to, I could stand up on my chair right now. I do have that free will. And that's kind of, like, those are extreme examples, but I do want to, like, showcase those examples because it's important that we remember, like, hey, you actually do get to make your own choices, and the Lord has given you this gift, and you can use that gift to glorify Him by living an all-in Catholic lifestyle.
Amen. That the abundant life that our Lord is trying to show us how to live and giving us the grace to live is the path to having self-dominion. And unfortunately, what is often the case today is that we let the rectangle in our hands, as you just said, have dominion over us. And that is the opposite of freedom. And your shedding light on that is obviously doing a lot of good. And that's the path to adventure that our Lord and His church offers us. So thanks be to God for what you're doing, John. And Lizzie, can you talk about the importance of the sacramental life and the need for a spiritual life for those who are suffering with mental illness?
I really like how the sacraments are physical. So we have holy water, holy oil, kneeling when we're at Mass, the Eucharist, baptism is water. All of that is physical. And I think that when it comes to a bipolar episode, a lot of times you kind of lose sight of reality and you don't feel connected to God or connected to the world. And I really like how all the physical parts of Catholicism, it makes the faith real. So if I'm in a severe depression episode and I don't feel any joy or peace in my relationship with God at all, I can receive the Eucharist and be physically united with God in such a real way, even when I don't feel that within me.
Amazing. Yes, that the faith is incarnational. The faith is incarnational. Our Lord took on human flesh, and He knows that we are body and spirit, and that we need tangible signs to get us out of ourselves and not be stuck. And that is incredibly helpful for those, especially with mental illness, when it can seem like we're stuck in our heads. So it's amazing that you're shedding light on this. And Lizzie, too, what impact has Catholicism's perspective on science and medicine had on your conversion and the conversion of many others that you've seen?
I think that when it comes to bipolar, it's really common for people to go off all of their medication. And I even say in some of my videos that it's kind of like a symptom or a sign that you might have bipolar disorder if you were diagnosed with depression and are consistently going off of medication. So I recently made a Instagram reel talking about all the scientists through the years in the Middle Ages and modern scientists who have contributed a lot to medicine in the world. And so I think it's really beautiful that the church is encouraging people to use medicine, find healing through there, but then also rely on God's power.
That's a very empowering truth. It's a very empowering truth that needs to be known to lift that burden off of people's shoulders and that pressure. And speaking of pressure, Kyle, there's so much pressure on men, especially on social media, to keep their manly facade and to seem like they're always okay. But that's not always the case. So how does Catholic theology on suffering in this life lead to rejoicing?
I mean, I think just really leaning in on Scripture and understanding that we're called to rejoice in our suffering. Also, the beautiful thing about Catholicism is it's not a false gospel, like a health and wealth gospel. We're told we're called to carry our cross daily and to deny ourselves daily, and that our current sufferings can't be compared to the joy or the glory that is to be revealed to us. So I think just leaning in on those scriptural truths is so key as well. But also, it's okay not to be okay, which is why God left us the sacrament of reconciliation. And like what Lizzie was saying, so many people are living in a non-reality on social media, but God left us a reality. He left us the visible sign of God's invisible grace is coming to us through the sacrament of reconciliation. As far as the problem itself, I think it's a chain reaction. It's stemming from men looking at other men as these manly role models that aren't necessarily the case. I hate to bring up specific people, but one recently, a man said he left the Christian faith because he said it seemed like it was a faith of weakness. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. And I would question his own faith, what he ever understood about the Christian faith, because Christ told us to love our enemies and that if the world hates us, remember, it hated him first. And I would question somebody's own masculinity if they're so afraid to be attached to something that they view as weak that they have to disconnect themselves from it. So I think the most masculine thing any man can do today is stepping into the breach and filling that void. If you're saying, hey, the church is missing this authentic masculinity, well, if you're a man yourself, step up and be what the church so badly needs right now.
Exactly, that there's an infinite difference between what is often the case with people who call themselves Christians and what Christ actually came to establish and who he is and who and what the church is in its essence. And that is the thing that most empowers men to be men. That's what God intended. And you're shedding light on that. Thanks be to God. So, John, we've talked a lot about your philosophy and why you do what you do and this whole vision of the digital Catholic island and what Gen Z needs. But let's shift gears now to talk about your content. What kind of content, then, are you posting? And what are you trying to teach people through your content?
The kind of content I've started posting recently is a little bit different from what I started out doing about 2 years ago. What I've started doing recently is this talking head 90-second videos, short-form content on Instagram, where I'll be teaching or talking about a shocking Catholic topic. But what I really set out to do with Truth Charting was to go make these like more adventurous documentary-style videos where I'm encountering a real thing. I'm trying to get out of a flash flood, or I'm going to the highest point in all 50 states to pray a rosary for the bishops. These kind of adventure-based long-form content. I always tried doing that on YouTube, and it didn't quite catch on with the algorithms, and it didn't quite get the engagement that we needed for me to be able to start doing this full-time. So we moved over to this Instagram short-form content, making 90-second videos about shocking Catholic topics, and it's been incredible. We've seen a lot of engagement and a lot of growth over the past just few months. And I hope to get back to making longer form content, adventure-based, experience-based videos, because I really actually don't know if my gifts are in teaching as much as they are in entertainment and inspiration. I want to inspire young people to go out and live the adventure. What I really want to do is, and what we've been doing for the past two years is we go to YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. These are the most popular social media and content apps amongst Gen Z. We find out what they're watching. Our target market is like 13 to 25 year olds. So what are 13 to 25 year olds watching the most right now? And we study that and we incorporate everything good from that content, that viral content among that age group. And we incorporate those good things into truth charting videos and we infuse it with truth, beauty, and goodness. So for the next few years, I can leave faith formation to other people who actually have that gift before I start teaching. And I hope to do that in the future is begin to have more of a formative approach with our videos. But for right now, I'm still pretty young, you know, and I really don't know it all. But what I do know is I've had a wonderful, vibrant Catholic experience, and I can share that with the youth and with my peers and even those a little older than me, right? So that's kind of my main goal right now is to continue making Catholic experience-based content and encourage young people to go all in.
You bring up a really good point, John, that it's not just like you come in with here's the kind of content that I feel like I want to create and I want to share with people. It's if you're trying to serve Gen Z, you're looking at, okay, what are they actually watching? What are they drawn to? And how can I then bring the Catholic faith to whatever mode that they are flocking towards? And you're adjusting. You're not, you know, getting stuck on your ego of like, you know, this is what I want to make. You're meeting them at the level of their want. And that's what as missionaries, as evangelists, what we need to do. And in social media land, it is absolutely no different. In fact, it's even more important properly. So thanks be to God that you were able to recognize how there needed to be a shift there and you acted accordingly, and look at the effect that's taken place. It's been wildly successful. Praise be to God. So, Lizzie, do you ever receive any messages from your followers? And if so, what are they asking you?
So I get so many different types of messages because I have talked about so many topics on my YouTube channel through the years. But the main topics I talk about now are Catholic theology and bipolar disorder. So I get a lot of people telling me their conversion stories and telling me that my videos were like a huge part of their journey to convert into Catholicism. I also have people who are in the midst of the journey who will send me questions they have about Catholicism. And I made, I think, like 130 videos on Catholicism. So I have a video on like every question they ever ask. So it's really nice that instead of like responding back with paragraphs, I could just like link two videos. And it's the same thing with bipolar messages. I will just link some of the videos I've made. So that makes it a lot faster. I used to get really overwhelmed by messages back when I was in college, and I would try to like respond to everyone, and I would cry sometimes because people are sharing like the hardest things that they're struggling with right now. So yeah, I wish I had more time to respond to messages, but it's always really nice because I think that content creation can be lonely sometimes because you're just spending like so many hours editing and you're coming up with the ideas and filming and everything on your own. And so it's really cool when I read DMs and getting to see that my videos are affecting real people and really impacting their lives. So I love reading through DMs and comments.
Yes, this social aspect of social media is probably one of the most important parts of what we're all doing. And people don't recognize how much time goes into producing this content. It's not like these things are just not thrown together. If you want to produce quality content, it takes time, and that there is a level of sacrifice there. You just have to know how to adjust, and it's good that you've made so many videos over there. You've already produced so much content of like, well, I've already answered that question, so let me show you here. There are ways to navigate this mission. So thanks for sharing all that. And Kyle, do you have people reach out to you on social media, and can you tell us about those interactions?
Yeah, I do all the time. And so I really had a reversion back into the faith, and a lot of my following was actually following me for completely things that are unrelated to the faith. So now it's been really beautiful to have people reach out to me because they've seen this radical change in my life and say, hey, I clearly see there's a difference in your life now. You know, what is it? What sparked this change? And I have those conversations with them. And these are people too, I've traveled all over the country, so I have friends in all different places who I always try to take it offline. If they happen to be in the area where I'm at, I try to meet up with them because I think a lot of people simply just want to be listened to. So even if I go and share a cup of coffee with them and I let them tell me where they're at in life, and then I can share my own story too. You know, the one man's personal testimony is really what pushed me back into the faith. So I know the power of sharing my own personal testimony, which is what I try to do offline as much as possible.
Yes, the power of testimony and the grace that many people were able to see, like, because you have been on social media for a long time. And Lizzie was very similar. She had been on her YouTube channel for several years before she became Catholic. So the mere fact that people were able to not just hear about your conversion after the fact, but actually watch it unfold is very powerful. And I think that there's no question that God uses people who have these platforms to have this grace moving in their life, not just for their own sake, but for the sake of all the many souls who will actually be seeing it and watching it unfold. So, Kyle, what are some of the best practices for influencers who want to try and prioritize evangelizing outside the realm of social media as you do?
I would lean on the fact, or St. Peter's words of always be prepared to defend the hope that is within you. I think a lot of time I'm not the best content creator. I don't put a lot of effort like John does. His stuff is phenomenal, absolutely amazing. But I think so many times people get used to having that time beforehand to really package up this great thing to share to others. And I would say you just have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and just having those difficult conversations, but practicing apologetics, at least the very beginning parts of the faith, so you can or try to realize the questions that are going to be asked to you most often. That way you're ready to have a response to them. And then simply ask people in public. Don't be afraid to share your faith. I think we used to have Catholics by name only, and I think unfortunately now we have a lot of Catholics online only, to where they're the most Catholic person online, but yet when they go out, they're not doing the sign of the cross before they eat a meal, or they're not asking people, hey, where do you go to church? All these little things, just start putting those things into practice in your day-to-day life, and it would probably help you create content as well.
Yeah, to have full integrity in your life and to not compartmentalize our Catholicism. It's supposed to imbue like every single aspect of our life, and that's what people will notice. That's what authenticity is being the same person all the time. So thank you for trying to make that effort, to knowing how important that is to have that integrity. So John, I want to know, I guess here's one of the most important questions we can ask. Do you think social media is bad? Would we all be better off if we just deleted our accounts and went outside and went to go jump in the pond, as you said earlier?
There's two sides to that question. I would say, is social media bad? No. Is using social media 8 hours a day bad? Oh, 100%. Yeah, and I've used social media that much in my upbringing. I mean, I've really grown up in this culture, the internet culture. I've grown up on the island. That's why I have such a heart for it, for these people who are in it, these real people who are in a fake world. Like, that's where my heart is. Is social media bad? No. Social media isn't bad. It allows Catholics to evangelize in a way that we have never been able to evangelize before. The amount of people that we can bring into a relationship with Christ through our inspiration that is megaphoned, that we, you know, really send out there through the internet, the potential that we have there is incredible. And I'm just now starting to see some really beautiful investment of the Catholic Church into really utilizing this as the tool that it is.
Thanks be to God, John, that you, like really all of you, are pointing them, like you're not trying to keep them locked into your account on social media. You're pointing them all to the life that is possible beyond their phone screen. That's ultimately where God is calling us into what's real, and that they do have what it takes to confront life head on and to pick up our cross, and that's where the real abundant life takes place. And so you all point them to that. So thank you again, Lizzie, Kyle, and John, for joining us today. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join us next week with host Father Joseph Mary Wolf right here on the Catholic Sphere.